Revelation 12. I was thinking about highest hills and deepest caves. That sometimes it explains the ministry at the fair. And well, sometimes you root people out of some deep caves, and it's amazing the mess that people get themselves in, and how their lives get all sideways and bent out of shape. And I'm amazed at the power of the gospel. You know, some of the people that got saved this week, if you looked at them, some of them you would have never thought that they needed Jesus, really. Some of them were clean cut and all, it looked like they're all well put together. And then there are others that you thought, there's no way they'll trust Christ. But, well, God is working in their heart. So it's a blessing. It always is. And one of the things we always pray is, Lord, lead us to that one that's looking for you. And I believe God does that. So we just have to be faithful. Revelation 12, the end times, the woman and the dragon. I don't know exactly where we stopped or we started. It's been so long. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start all over. And then we'll just kind of go from there. Amen? All right? So not chapter 1. We'll be back in chapter 12. Okay? I didn't want to go that far back. But chapter 12, let's begin with verse number 1. And I think we'll just read through verse number 6. I think that'll kind of be where we need to stop at tonight. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. He cast him to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Let me check this temp. All right. Is it on now? Okay, good. We're moving into the second half of the book of Revelation. The second portion opens with really some pretty amazing visions. Let me remind you that the book of Revelation is not chronological in order. If you were to go through, you would take those first 3 chapters. Those deal with the church ages, the different stages of the church throughout history. And there is no doubt that we are living in the Laodicean church age today. It is evident on every hand, all across our land and all around the world. And then you pick up chapter 4. That starts with the rapture of the saints of God. And so chapters 4 through 9 take us on a trip through the tribulation period. All right, so all the way through, chapters 10 and 11 are basically a parenthesis, a kind of or a pause in the action, if you will. They reveal some of the behind the scenes activities. And then chapter 11 really takes us to the very edge of eternity. And it closes with the Lord claiming his rightful dominion over the universe. And then chapters 12 through 19 are going to take us on another journey through the tribulation period. Chapters 4 through 9 deal with a timeline or a plan of the tribulation. But chapters 12 through 19 deal with the characters and the people of the tribulation. All right? We're introduced to some of the individuals who will figure greatly during this time period. So that's the difference. Whenever you read the book of the Revelation, maybe you've read and you get to about chapter 14 and you think, huh, I've read that before. Well, more than likely, you read the same thing over in chapter number 6 or so. So if you were to look at it like this, chapters 4 through 9, one writer said, is like looking through Revelation or going through Revelation and looking through a telescope. Chapters 12 through 19 is more of a microscope. It begins to pull out different characters and all that. So chapter number 12 is essential to a proper understanding of what's going to happen for the rest of the book. So here we are. We have some, just 6 verses tonight. And we'll look at number 1, verses 1 and 2. I want you to see with me, I think we've covered this already, so I won't cover it too deep tonight, but we have the personality of the woman. verse number 1, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." So the Roman Catholics have said throughout the years that they think this woman is Mary. There are several reasons why this cannot be. Number 1, Mary never ascended to heaven. You don't find that in the Scriptures, right? The second thing is, Mary gave birth on heaven and not on gave birth on the earth and not in heaven. And Mary cannot be wedged into there, okay? Some believe the woman is a church. However, it was Christ, the man-child, that gave birth to the church and not the other way around. This woman could only be one person or one entity, and that entity is Israel. There's some clues here. Is clothed with the sun, and it speaks of heavenly glory. The moon is under her feet. This speaks of dominion and power. And she wears a crown. This speaks of royalty. The 12 stars speak of the 12 tribes of Israel. I believe that the woman represented here is Israel. And you could go back to Genesis 17, and you could, or 37, you could pick up some of the dreams of Joseph and the others. And we did that last time, so I'm not going to go through all that. But the destiny of this is this. This nation gives birth to a man-child that will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Out of Israel came Jesus Christ. And I said this before. When I were talking about, even yesterday, we saw one of those road signs or road whatever yard signs, and it has a picture of Jesus on it. It's a pray, something pray, right? But every time I see that, I look at it and I have to chuckle, because every one of those Jesuses have blue eyes. And I'm going to tell you something. More than likely, Jesus didn't have blue eyes. He didn't have blonde hair. Matter of fact, his skin was a whole lot closer to black than it is white. So whenever they say that Christianity is a white man's religion, that's not true. Jesus Christ is, at the very least, dark-skinned. He had dark hair, dark eyes, and he is a Jew. That was his heritage. So you have, when you have to see the paintings and all, and even in the movies, they always have some white guy portraying him. No, they ought to have somebody that's brown. Maybe not all the way black, but his skin is a lot darker than mine, I can tell you. And his hair is a lot darker than mine, too. But I'm so glad that it's not based on skin color or eye color or where I came from. Amen? I'm glad that he saves by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saves whosoever will, of whom I qualify as one. I'm a whosoever will. In Matthew chapter 1, he's called the son of David. He's called the son of Abraham. And we've told over and over again about this man and this woman. So we believe that this woman here represents the nation of Israel. But then all of a sudden you see this picture of the woman giving birth, and then all of a sudden now you see a persecutor coming on. So we called the personality of the woman, but the second thought tonight is the persecutor of the woman. Look at it, verse number 3. The Word of God says, "There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon." Who's the great red dragon? The devil, right? None other than Lucifer himself. And it says, "Having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads." So we see some things. First of all, the personality. This man, or this image, is red. Red is the color of war and bloodshed. You think of the red horse in Revelation 6. The dragon is a killer. Boy, I wish our young people would get a hold of this today. The devil hates them, and he wants to destroy their lives, and he wants to kill them. The devil is no friend of any human being on earth. He brings death and war and bloodshed. He's called a dragon. A dragon is a winged serpent. There's really no such thing in our natural world, but it's a picture of the devil, and he exists in the supernatural world. He has 7 heads. More than likely, this deals with his vast intelligence. We're dealing with a brilliant and a wise creature. And I'm going to tell you something. We as humans are no match to the devil one-on-one. But greater is he that liveth in me than he that's already been defeated by the cross. Amen. When the devil begins to attack, what you do is you claim your position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are we seated at tonight? We're seated already in the heavenlies in God's mind. You claim that position. That's far above all principality and power. Amen? Seven heads, 10 horns. We'll go into this later on as we get through Revelation some. But I believe the horns are a symbol of power. One man said years ago, I think Henry Kissinger. Yeah, I was surprised today. Henry Kissinger's still alive. That checker must be like 200 years old. But he's been behind the scenes manipulating, working world affairs since I was a boy. You know what he said one time? He said, "Power is having power is the ultimate aphrodisiac." He lives for power. The devil does that. He lives for power. 10 horns. Satan, here you go. Get this. Satan is not all powerful, though. Satan is limited. He's kind of like a great big dog on an even bigger chain. And God holds the chain. The number 10 may refer to the 10-nation kingdom that later on we'll find that happens in the great, in the last days. And I said, we'll get into some of that. Sometimes a lot of men get deep down in the weeds on some of that. A lot of this stuff, to be honest with you, happens after I'm here, so I really don't care. By the time we hit the rapture, I'm done. The rest of it is okay. It's good reading. But the rest of it, it has nothing to do with my salvation or where I'm going to be at. But we'll look at it a little bit because we're interested in it. And maybe we can scare somebody from not going there. 7 crowns. Crowns are a symbol of authority. Get this tonight. Satan is still the god of this world. The god of this world hath blinded the minds of them. Well, we watched that this last week at the fair and the other week at the fair. God has blinded their eyes. People come by and it's obvious that they need Jesus, but they don't know it. In verse number 4, we see how the devil pollutes that which is good. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and then cast them to earth. I believe this is a reference back to the fall of Satan. Satan was not always an evil creature. In the beginning, he was one of, or if not the, high-ranking angel in heaven. You can read that in Ezekiel 28. But pride was found in his heart, and he tried to take God's throne. You know, I find myself in myself that same exact attribute, pride, and wanting to take over God's throne in my life. Whenever that happens, you know who I'm acting like? The devil. He tried to overthrow the Lord. If you guys are taking notes, you can jot down these notes. Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 15. That's one of the places. And then you have Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. Lucifer sinned and he became Satan. He was originally Lucifer, the light bearer. He was cast out of heaven, but when Lucifer fell, you know what he did? He took a third of the angels. How many is a third of the angels? Can I tell you? A bunch. Now they're demonic beings. I believe every Christian, in fact, I really believe every human being ever born on the face of the earth has been assigned an angel of some sort. Guardian angel, you can call it whatever you want. But I also believe we've been assigned a demon. I know most of the women have. Just checking, make sure you guys are still awake. Some of them, they're little demons. Yeah, amen. I have a short time now. My time is short. Amen. All right. And so you had the pollution. The devil pollutes everything he touches. The devil takes music. Music is a beautiful thing. But the devil pollutes it. Entertainment. oftentimes entertainment is a wonderful thing, but the devil pollutes it. The devil will pollute everything. He is a corrupter. He is a trickster. He is a replicator. You take like marriage. Marriage is a wonderful thing. But then he's taken and he's brought the world into believing that two men can marry or two women can marry. And what he does, he corrupts it. And he tries to destroy. He pollutes all of those things. Whenever they were cast out of heaven, those angels, they became fallen angels. And now they're basically known as demons. The Bible calls them devils. And they go about seeking to corrupt men and women, boys and girls. Have you ever wondered why a teenager commits suicide? That's because they have a demon whispering in their ear telling them, you're not worth anything. You'd be better off dead. And a lot of times the music that they're listening to is telling them the same thing. They're part of the satanic kingdom and they do his bidding. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, right? We wrestle against those things. So you see the demon, he has polluted the angels that fell. I don't know exactly how to explain it, but apparently for the angels, it was a one-time decision. Whenever the devil was found corrupt, those angels had a choice. It's like, just imagine that God gave them a choice and one-third of them made the choice to follow the devil. Why, I don't know. But two-thirds stayed with God. And I believe that once they made that choice, that was forever sealed. It's not like you and I can continue to change our minds. I think they just kept on. And the devil and his angels one day, or his demons one day, will be cast into the lake of fire and they'll burn forever and ever. And then, you know what? They'll not plague us anymore. And I'll be so glad for that. But notice what the plans are of the dragon. Notice in verse number 4, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. By the way, he didn't care about those angels whenever they were in heaven. He didn't care about them now. The devil doesn't care about anybody. And notice what happens. And the dragon stood before the woman. Now, the dragon stood before the nation of Israel, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. He was wanting to perform an abortion on that child. Plans. I didn't say anything about it this morning. I just really didn't think about it. But I'm glad that our state made a positive move in protecting the unborn. Every life ought to be valued no matter how it was conceived. You get that? Did you hear that? Every life ought to be valued no matter how it was conceived. God always has a plan. Eli Lilly's threatening the state of Indiana. You know what they can do? They can go jump in a lake. If our state will stand for righteousness, God will take care of us. Them and Cummins can go jump in a lake. And they can take their little fairies and run on. I'm sorry, no, no, I don't want to get on all that. But and they're rainbow-colored diesel engines. They've got one. They'll put it up every once in a while for Pride Month. They'll put a rainbow-colored Cummins diesel engine in the front lobby. What in the world has a diesel engine got to do with homosexuality? But they stand for that. Now, Eli Lilly's threatening the state of Indiana. We're going to start looking outside of the state. When did corporations start getting involved in all that? Oh, that's just disgusting to me. I hope our politicians don't cave. I hope after the next election. By the way, we've got some new leaders that will probably be coming into the state that are going to replace some of those supposed conservatives up there, and we may be even to take a next step. We forced our governor to become pro-life, and I'm glad. See, the dragon, the devil always has a plan to destroy the unborn. He's been wanting to do it ever since Moses and go right on back. He's always tried to. You know why? Because he knows the next one that stands up may be the one that leads the people. Could you imagine how hard the devil and his angels worked to maybe kill a Billy Graham in the womb, or a Billy Sunday, or a Spurgeon? Satan moved Cain to kill Abel, thinking he could stop God's plan. He didn't know that God would send Seth. He tried to corrupt the human blood by having the godly line of Seth intermingled with demonic beings. He didn't know that God was going to bring about Noah and the ark. He moved Esau to anger so that he had killed Jacob, but he didn't know that God would help Jacob escape. He tried to kill off the Jews in Egypt by having Pharaoh slay all the little boys, but he didn't know that God was going to save a little boy by the name of Moses who would lead the people out of Egypt. Then he tried to lead the entire nation in idolatry, thinking God would destroy their nation, but he didn't see God sending them off into captivity where they'd be rid of their angels or their idols and they'd come back. He failed in every attempt to stop the birth of Christ, and God still wins every time. So you have the personality of the woman, you have the persecutor, but then you have the seed of the woman. If you want a P word to go along with it, you can use the word progeny. How about that? Progeny. That's seed, all right? I thought, well, I'll just use seed instead. Who is this progeny? Who is this seed? He's called the man-child. He came into the world like every other baby. He came from the womb of his mother. Well, what made Jesus different? His father. His father was the Holy Ghost. You see, sometimes people get the idea that Luke got the thought that Mary was a virgin from Mary. But no, an angel told Luke. You see, this seed of the woman was born without a human father. His mother was a virgin. All of that just boggles our mind. His destiny is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. There are leaders today that want to rule with a rod of iron, but they're not capable of doing it. And the reason why is because they're not consistent. The whole COVID thing, well, take California, state of California right now. The whole COVID thing, they required people to wear masks, required them to take vaccinations, required them to do all these things. But we have a monkeypox thing that's growing in the homosexual communities. And the politicians in San Francisco are not willing to shut down the gay bathhouses, the gay bars, and all that. And did you hear what the governor said the other day? The governor said, well, we think that people ought to be able to think for themselves. And they'll take whatever means necessary to stay safe. Well, isn't that a direct contradiction to what they said about wearing masks and vaccines just a little while ago? Huh. Do you think maybe all of it was kind of politically influenced? Amen. So we see all these things happen. And at certain times, you know, we get excited whenever it seems like God sets up a good ruler. We're glad for that. But there's coming a day whenever the best ruler is going to be here. Jesus is going to come along. For 1,000 years, he's going to rule this world with a rod of iron. Men are going to get exactly what they've always said they wanted. They're going to have a perfect climate. They're going to have a perfect government and a perfect law and order. They're going to have all those things. And they said, look, if all those things fall into place, then people will be good. Guess what? At the end of it, the devil finds a whole bunch of people, gathers them together to go fight against God again. I see that the devil decided that he was going to try to destroy this child. But God defeated him once again. This child was born. Well, here, look at the verse. It says at the end of verse number 4, for to devour a child as soon as it was born. Verse number 5, and she brought forth a man child. He identified as a male, by the way. He's a man child. And who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And notice this last little phrase. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So this man child is being pictured as caught up to God and to the throne of God. The Gospels contain here. Get this. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. Amen. But he didn't stay dead. After 3 days, he rose from the grave. Here, hold your finger here. Go with me to Revelation 1. I'm almost done for tonight. I'm not going to get to point number 4. All right? So some of you are thinking, man, we're almost finished. Yeah, some of y'all look really tired. Verse number 18. 1:18. Revelation 1:18. Look at verse 17. Sometimes I read and I think, let's go back a little. It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead and laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Aren't those sweet words when they come from our Savior? Fear not. I am the first and the last. Notice verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And Jesus says, amen. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. So we see right there that the devil wanted to destroy him, but God delivered him. He ascended back into heaven and he sat down on the right hand of the Father in heaven. He'll not stay there forever, though. He's coming back. He's coming back for his bride real soon. He's coming back to defeat his enemies and to take his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the man-child. And then next week, we'll begin to discuss the protection of the woman. The protection of the woman. If you guys have a little bit of time this week, take a few moments and maybe look it up. The place is called Petra, P-E-T-R-A, Petra. They're in the nation of Israel, and that's where many scholars think that the nation will be hid at and be taken care of. And that could be, but look it up. Years ago, a wealthy businessman, spent tens of thousands of dollars, and he hired a firm to place Bibles in each one of the caves in that place called Petra. They sealed them up, and they're supposed to be sealed in such a way that the atmosphere, nothing will bother. So it's kind of neat. And because the businessman has since died, but he believed that that was where the nation of Israel, they were going to be protected. They're going to hide in those caves and all, which very well could be. But inside of all those caves at one time were placed Bibles. He thought that it would be pretty interesting reading for the people that were hiding there, and they could read about what was really going on in their lives. Who knows? But that man might have been instrumental in guiding the remnant of the nation of Israel back to the Messiah whenever Jesus comes. So, no doubt, though, more than likely, those Bibles have been stolen and taken out of there and destroyed by the enemies of the nation of Israel. I don't know, but just one of those little things that you find whenever you're reading about all this. God's people have always had a heart to see the nation of Israel come to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Go home. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the book of the Revelation of how, whenever we just take it piece by piece, it's so easy to understand. We know, Lord, there are some parts of it that have not quite fallen into place yet. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we read these things. May our faith be strengthened. May we get a greater urgency about us to share the gospel. Lord, may our fervency of our prayer life increase this week. Lord, I pray that you'd bring revival to the Fellowship Baptist Church in the last couple of months. Lord, you've been good to us. Lord, I sense that there is the creeping in of a coldness here amongst our folks. And I pray, God, that you would reignite those fires in our hearts again. Help us, Lord, to continually be seeking you and walking with you. And Lord, help us to be on fire for serving you. And Lord, dismiss us with thy grace. Keep us safe. Keep us close to you. And we'll be careful to praise you, for we love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.